All right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual set to compete at BKB 34, which goes down on September the 16th. And we've got BKB British Gold on the line when Rhys Murray and Martin Reffel step into the ring, and great heaven, Martin on the show. How's your day going, man?
Yeah, really, it's good. It's been a long day, to be fair. Full day at work, got home, quickly said hello to the kids, and then off to the gym.
Yeah, and how's the, I guess, preparations going into this one? Because, I mean, kind of an interesting situation, like, mindset-wise, being that you previously fought Scott McHugh for British Gold at BKB 28, and kind of wild that was your, you know, bare-knuckle debut last September. So, like, what's the mindset kind of heading into this one? Is it almost like a redemptive kind of mindset, in a way, just getting another crack at British Gold at all?
So I took the Scott McHugh fight on 3 days' notice last year. It was my third fight in on BKB, and the preparation wasn't really there. I was always keeping fit, but yeah, I just kind of lost the fitness towards the last few rounds. But yeah, this time I've been fully prepared. I know a lot about my fighter. He's a good fight. He's not an easy walkover. You can't ever underestimate your fighters. But I know what needs to be done, and I've prepared for it, and I know what he's going to bring to the table. But you never know. He might bring something new on the spare in the moment. I'm very good at adapting, very good at learning. So we'll see how it goes when I get in there. I'll have my fitness on point. I'll have my my guard on point, and we'll take it from there once the bell goes.
Yeah, it sounds like what you're saying, you're one of those guys that comes into the fight with a certain level of, I guess, familiarity with what your opponent brings to the table, but not, like, so rigidly, I guess, like, setting what your approach might be, or conversely, what you think their approach is. So is it kind of like a healthy mix of, like, having that, like, tape study and, I guess, grounding in the person's technique, but then also having that, like, fluidity and adaptability in the fight?
Yeah, so people always train for a certain fight, and they train a certain way, and they go in there with a game plan. You know, as a fighter, I will go in with a game plan, and my coach will want me to fight a certain way. But the one thing I am very good at is adapting on the front foot. So, you know, as much as you can train for something, in the moment, it could all change. I think Ryan Jett kind of lent on that point. You know, he adapts as he goes on. And yeah, we'll see how it goes. As I say, Rhys could come with something completely different. I know what he's got. I know what he's about. I know he's a good fighter and he's good technically. And I don't plan to give him much time to be technical. But again, he could catch me with a vase shot and it'll all change and I'll fight completely different to what I planned. So we'll see how it goes in the moment. But I tell you what, there will be blood and there will be a war, because I do love a good fight.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you kind of touched on it there, just talking about your last fight there against Ryan Jett. And just curious to, I guess, get some of your thoughts on that BYB 18 fight you had there in June, because I saw some articles that were positing that they felt like you should have won the fight. Like, one of the headlines even went as far as to describe it as a robbery and whatnot. Like, it really seemed like you, I guess, kind of put it on him as far as, like, the, you know, eye injury and things of that nature. So, like, what were your thoughts on that one? Like, did you think that was, like, almost a controversial one, or what were your main takeaways, I guess?
I think Ryan was a very good opponent. I'm in two minds. So I can look at it and say, yeah, there was a robbery in place. American rules, American ring. But to be honest, there was a lot of things that I look back on and think I could have done more. I got caught with a big, heavy shot in that first round, stepping forward, and I lost eyesight for the first 10 seconds of the first round. And I think that kind of then stopped me, because normally when I'm attacked, if you look at the Levici fight, as he comes forward and attacks me, I'm trying to still throw shots as I'm stepping back. But as you hear the commentary in the BYB, as I'm stepping back, I'm not throwing anything. So as much as I could sit there and throw my hands up and go robbery, 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 Ryan Jett was a good fighter. He done really well. And apart from the clinch, I think I dominated in the clinch. I had a lot more strength. I was able to throw a lot more in the clinch. But I just don't, I don't, I left everything in there, but there was things I could have done more of. I weren't my usual self, and I think it's because of that first shot that caught me. It could either go either way, and I think it is what it is. And the right man won the fight on the night. And BYB is a difficult fight. I underestimated the fitness needed for the BYB show. I was fit, but it was just, it takes so much out of you doing that clinch work. I definitely prefer the boxing side of it rather than the clinch. But as I say, Ryan won that fair and square in my eyes, really. I just could have done a little bit more on my back foot like I've done in the past. But I think he kind of rocked me with that first shot, and it kind of was like, oh, that hurt. I was a bit dubious, and in my head I was a bit more dubious of stepping forward, letting those shots go. In the last round, when his eye was closed, realistically, if I'd have just carried on throwing a left hook, right hand, and just really going to work on that left eye, I could have stopped the fight on a doctor. Ryan won that, and he done really well, and he's a decent bloke. No hard feelings for it. And maybe if he comes to England and does BKB, it might be a different result. But it was a good fight, and I learned a lot from it. And we'll move forward. So it weren't really a loss; it was a learning curve. I've learned from it, and I'll move on now.
Yeah, and not taking away from the fight. I mean, a lot of people saw that as like the fight of the night, and I could understand why. I guess this is a bit of a two-part kind of question. Like, just wondering about some of the initial thoughts of being part of that crossover event, like the BYB versus BKB, and like the Europe versus Team USA kind of connotations to it and stuff like that. And I mean, I guess that's the first part of the question, but another thing that I'm curious about, because it seems like from what you're saying, you would almost like know what to do if you were to have like another fight in the Trigon. Like, is that something you would want to do? Like, could we see another BYB extreme fight for you?
I was honoured to fight for my country and my team. It was definitely an honour to be part of it, and it was good to be part of it all. In regards to the BYB, I definitely would know what to do and where I'd have to improve on it. So the learning point would have been picked up, and I would take that into the next one. In regards to wanting to do it again, I'm not sure. As I say, I prefer the BKB rules. I'm not too keen on the clinch. Although I dominated in the clinch, it just didn't feel... I felt more like I was having a scrap on the street and wrapping someone up on the corner rather than boxing and moving in a ring. But listen, I'll never say never. And if it gets thrown, the opportunity gets thrown for me to go over to America or do the same again, in the moment I might say yes. I might say no, but to be fair, I wouldn't say no to any fight. So if it's thrown at me, I probably would say yes. But would I want to? I like the BKB, and I think the rules of BKB are better for my style of fighting.
Yeah, no, fair enough. I guess I just like that, crossover dynamic. Like, I think it really just benefits the sport and just the fighters within it. But,
yeah. That's definitely one thing. It does benefit the sport in the worldwide picture. It gets people more interested. It shows that even though we're different companies and different styles, we can both come together. It was an honour to be part of that. And I say, I'll never say never, but I think I'm going to concentrate on getting this British title, concentrate on maybe pushing more on the BKB side. And then if the opportunity comes and arises, then I may say yes. I'll never know. Until that moment happens, I don't know yet.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from, though, and I guess just talking about, like, the quality of work, like, it seems like Respect Fitness is, like, the primary spot, and I was seeing some different pictures of you working with guys like, Patrick Nash, and, I mean, I saw the work with Aaron McCallum as well. I mean, I imagine that would be great work, just in general, but specifically with him also challenging for British gold on this looming event here. So can you speak to, I guess, just this particular camp here leading into this one?
Yeah, so I've already said to Aaron, if he wins, I'm going to come chasing it that way. Definitely give it a go, maybe do two time British. It's good getting about and sparring these lads. There's a big respect within BKB. and the opportunity always comes around to be able to kind of travel around up and down to different gyms and get that in. And with us both, we're good friends, me and Aaron. I get on with him really well. He's a good bloke. I get on with his partner. I also get on with the lads that he trains with as well. So he travels to me, I travel to him. So yeah, it's brilliant to get that interaction with him and the training with them. And again, like, I wish him all the best because he definitely wants it just as much as anybody else.
Yeah, it seems like there's a great, like, cross-training community among a lot of, like, the BKB guys and stuff like that. Like, I feel like I see Jimmy Sweeney often getting a lot of great, like, cross-training work with a lot of notable names and everything like that. So, yeah, just love to see it. Like, it seems like a great, like, camaraderie-minded kind of thing. Like, as much as you guys are throwing down at the end of the day, and sometimes these fights will happen with this crossover. Like, it seems like it's just handled with, like, a level of, I guess, just class and just understanding that everyone's growing together, I suppose.
Yeah, it's one thing I do love about BKB. As much as we kick the crap out of each other and bust each other up, there's a lot of respect. Like, I'm friends with a lot of the BKB fighters that I could potentially come across. I see their posts all the time on social media, and they see mine. You know, I'm not afraid. I don't put up stuff that can... they can learn from. They can only learn from what they see on the videos, fight videos. But yeah, I'm still friends with Reece Murray. I've got him on social media now. I've been seeing he's having a good time. His camp's going really well. His family's all good. You know, I've got a lot of respect for the guy. I've got no disrespect. It's when the bell goes, we'll kick the crap out of each other, and then the winner will be the winner, and then afterwards it'll go back to normal. I've got no bad blood against anybody. And I've got a lot of respect for anybody that steps into the ring. So, and that's one thing I love about BKB. It's not quite like the boxing world where there's a bit more crap talk, as you want to call it, and stuff like that. We are a respectful bunch, and behind the scenes, we're all there for each other. Do you know what I mean? And then the bell goes, and we kick the crap out of each other. I think that's brilliant.
Yeah, it's amazing. Definitely something I very much love to see, even from my like layman perspective, just kind of taking it in and watching. But we were talking before about just how you approach some of these fights where there is the adaptability, but you also like to, you know, be familiar heading in. And I guess just to that point, I'm curious to, like, get your thoughts on Reece Murray. Like, what do you think about, I guess, his overall resume in the sport of bare knuckle, but also maybe some of the better stylistic attributes you've seen of him from some of his fights?
Reece Murray's a very good boxer. He's skillful. His agility and movement in the ring and control of the ring can be next to nothing. It's brilliant. You know, you can definitely tell he's come from a boxing background. But he won't have that time to control the ring. You know, we all know what kind of fighter I am. He knows exactly what type of fighter I am. And, you know, he's going to be on his back foot a lot of the time. But again, you know, it only takes for one shot and he could stick me into a completely different mindset. And I'm on my back foot. But yeah, no, he's a very good boxer. And I think that's what he's going to bring to the ring. But then when you see him against Lafferty, he had a damn good little brawl with Lafferty, even though he lost that fight. It was a tight fight and it was a good fight. There was a lot of movement and a lot of brawling because Lafferty, we all know Lafferty likes a good old rumble. So yeah, again, it's one of those things. And this time, you know, he's hungry just as much as I am. If not, you know, he's hungry for that title because he lost that out to Lafferty last time. And that's why he doesn't hold it at the moment. But I am just as hungry. I want that title. And since I started, I was more mindset on the British title. So no matter what he brings to that ring on the day, I will adapt. I will come through. And I will give everything I've got to win that title.
And just hearing you talk about it, like, it seems like a very interesting stylistic matchup. Because we were talking about before about like the BYB rules, where it was like more oriented to like the active clinch and like the infighting and stuff like that. And just in seeing like the backstory on you, like, it seemed like gloved boxing was kind of the first like initial love, but just drawn to bare knuckle for like the rawness and like the real nature of the sport. So just kind of the read of this fight, it would almost seem like just like people who are like a real big fan of like the Broughton's rules or like a London Prize rules from like a bygone era. But you know, it's just interesting. Like, it's like not so much like obviously much more refined with time and stuff like that, but it would seem like people who are a fan of that classic, like old school, like at range, like Broughton's rules, London prize rules style boxing, like they'd really be getting a great fight out of this one here.
Yeah, so see, I you know, with the BYB, I think the big thing of it is the holding. So I like the inside work. I like to be tight. I like to be sat, and I like to work nice, short, sharp shots. You know, looking back on some of the fights I had, Levici, I knocked him down with really short, sharp shots. But then look at the Lawson fight. I caught him with some real long body shots. The Scott McHugh, you know, we had a bit of a jab, then we went in for a ball. So it's not that. It is the holding, because you are so tight, and the draining of holding, that's the difference. Whereas with BKB, you can get in tight, you can work on the inside, but it has to stay, you know, you can't just grab hold of them and start laying into them. It has to be nice, and you have to keep working, keep those arms moving. So, yeah, it is, going back to the old school, there is nothing better. I loved gloves, you know, it got me into the sport. I went into the ring 16, 17 years ago. I tried the pro boxing under the British Irish Board of Association. You know, I've done a lot of unlicensed. But yeah, that first fight against Johnny Jones, that just completely changed everything for me. And even my coach said, like, you box completely different with gloved on than you do with bare knuckle. With gloved, I can be quite silly, complacent, put my hands down, take shots I shouldn't, not afraid to take a shot, even if they're 4 or 5 stone heavier, I'm taking shots to the face just because they've got gloves on and it doesn't hurt. Whereas with bare knuckle, I move, I don't want to get caught. Even if I am caught, it's like, well, okay, let's keep going. Let's just, that blood trickles down your face, it gets your heart pumping, the body starts kicking in, the adrenaline starts kicking in, it just, everything just excites me about bare knuckle.
That's interesting. So was it a conscious, like, overhaul of your style, like really change it and adapt it to this new sport, or did you just kind of like innately, I guess, know to change these things and you're almost like adapting to this newer sport without consciously thinking about changing it? Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that's exactly how it's worked. So, you know, I have adapted and changed. Even now when I'm sparring in camp, I still go back, because I've got gloves on, I still go back to the hole. And my coach is like, this isn't what you're doing. Come on, you're meant to be doing it this way. Why are you doing it that way? It's like, in my brain, I'm like, because you're wearing gloves and it don't really hurt, so I'm not really bothered. But when I've adapted the time, if you look at the Johnny Jones fight, it was fast, it was quick, it was powerful, but it was scrappy. The Levici fight, I got better. I worked tight on the inside. You know, I pushed. I weren't afraid to get caught. The Scott McHugh fight, I've learned, I've adapted, I've picked up the pace. My fitness obviously wasn't there completely because I hadn't been in camp, but it was still quick, fast, boom. And then we went on to the Johnny Lawson fight. I was cool, I was collected, I was stalked, I worked the body, I worked the head. You saw a bit more boxing from me because I had that range and that ability to move around because I'd done the damage in the first round. Then I went on to Ryan fight, and I've had to adapt to that kind of stuff. So yeah, I will only get better as the more fights I have. That I can guarantee, because I always learn from each and every one of my fights. Even if I win it, I still learn something.
Yeah, definitely strikes me as the case. You seem like a guy that very much tries to be like studious about your different experiences and to try to retain those lessons. So definitely good to hear that you're doing that. But I guess one of the last things that I kind of wanted to touch on here, because I was noticing in one of the articles regarding your last fight there that you had two of your 6 daughters ringside, and I understand your missus was there too to kind of check out the action. Is that kind of like a common sort of thing for you? And if so, are they going to be ringside for this one here?
So, yes, my partner was in my corner for 2 of my fights. She will be in my corner for the next fight. My eldest always likes to be there. I think my eldest is more for just because it's a factor getting out with dad and being in an atmosphere. She turns 18 this year, so she's kind of getting used to that kind of atmosphere. And then mine and my partner's little girl, Tara, we want her in this lifestyle. We want her to grow up in this lifestyle. She's got a lot of respect already as a little one in the gyms. She can walk into crawl into any gym with us, and everybody loves her, and we want her to keep fit. We're keeping her off the sweets, we're keeping her off the chocolate. We want her to be in this kind of lifestyle. If she chooses not to do it as she gets older, that's fair, we're not going to push it, but if all she knows is this kind of, you know, lifestyle, we're hoping that she does. Because, yeah, I've got six girls, and not all of them really are interested in fighting. Some of them are interested into gymnastics and this and that. But with Tara, yeah, she will be there again. She won't be ringside. She's a bit young for that at the moment, but she will be there. My eldest is already asked to be there, so she'll be there as well. And yeah, my kids are kind of one of the reasons I do it. They're not the reason, you know, but they are one of the reasons. I want them to be proud of their dad. I want them to look back and go, yeah, my dad did this. This is what he wanted to do, and this is what he achieved. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's kind of the sense I got. Like, it seems like it very much galvanizes your already strong resolve. Like you were saying there, it's like individually you want to do great things and pursue this, but definitely could serve as like a great source of motivation to like represent them well, I would think.
Yeah, and it's another good thing. I've got all girls. All six of my kids are girls, so it's nice for them to tell their partners if when they do have boyfriends that my dad's a bare knuckle champion.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of lets the boys know, doesn't it?
Yeah, show him that British belt and put a little fear in him, kind of thing. Show him the hardware, kind of thing.
Yeah, this is what happens when you mess up with my children.
You know, that's fun, man, and good to hear that there's going to be some representation here for this one. It would seem like a big night, so good that you'll be having some loved ones in the crowd and everything, and just kind of interesting too. There's not really like a question in this per se, but you were referencing the Tony Lafferty fight earlier that Reese Murray had, and kind of similar to your situation, like when I talked to you about facing Scott McHugh for the title previously, like I didn't get the sense that you're, I guess, looking at this next fight as like a redemptive kind of thing just because that first one was so short notice. But I mean, maybe he has that kind of mindset, just being that was a BKB championship fight at BKB 29. So just kind of interesting that both of you guys are in kind of like a similar kind of position, and as far as like this is like the sophomore kind of attempt at the hardware and everything. So yeah, curious, like mindset wise and I guess trajectory wise almost.
Yeah, no, I think it means a lot to both of us. I think this is going to be, like, I've had three fight of the nights out of five now, and I'm pretty certain this will be fight of the night, if not fight of the year. He's got a lot to prove, I've got a lot to prove. I want that title. He thinks he's getting that title. He wants that title. I think I'm getting that title. It's just going to be one of those fights not to miss. Anything can happen on the night, but I think we're both going. And you know, I saw a post from not long ago about how some of his old fight camps, they weren't the best fight camps that he could have had, and he's made sure that I'm getting this full attention. Well, I'm glad I'm getting this full attention, because I wouldn't want anything else but his full attention, because, you know, as a fighter, I want the best of him coming in that ring. We will have a good fight. It will be either fight of the night, fight of the year, fight of the century, because I want it, he wants it. And yeah, there's definitely going to be some war and blood.
Yeah, I mean, I was excited for this fight before talking to you, but definitely compounding that much more so. I feel like this will be a great throwdown for sure. But just in being mindful of your time and everything, man, I'm curious if maybe there's like a final parting thought you'd like to add as we're kind of wrapping things up here, Martin.
I'd like to thank all my sponsors quickly. Respect Fitness, Peterborough Boxing, TML Solicitors, Explosive Vape, and Longland Electricals. Without them, you know, they make my camp so much easier, so I appreciate that. And all my fans, people that come to watch, buy tickets, buy it online. As I say every single time, I promise you blood. I promise you a good fight. And there will be a winner. It won't come down to a draw, that's for sure.
Yeah, and you've definitely never broken those promises, for sure. Anyone that's seen your fights can attest to that.
Yeah, I'm glad. And I appreciate you for giving me your time. As much as you take my time, I appreciate the time you're giving as well. And it's always good to get out there and speak to people. I don't think I've ever said no to an interview. It's always good to get my views and opinions out there. And yeah, I hope to next time maybe speak to you after the fight when I've brought the title home.
Yeah, definitely, man. Glad to hear that it's a mutual thing. Very much enjoyed getting to have you on and get your insights. Been watching you fight for a bit now, so cool we could get in this talk ahead of BKB 34. And yeah, definitely excited for this Reese Murray fight on September 16th for that British gold. But until then, man, you have a good rest of your day, and looking forward to checking out this fight when it goes down too.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much for your time. I'm now going to go sweat and probably cry on the way home because I've been killed off.
All right, well, hopefully it's more sweating than crying, but in any event, you have a good one, man.
Of course, I'll probably cry whilst I'm sweating. But yeah, thank you for your time, buddy.
All right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, excited to be chatting with an individual who competes at BKB 34, and that goes down on September the 16th. And we've got BKB gold in this bout as Martin Raphael takes on Reese Murray, and great getting to have Reese on the show for the first time. How's your day going there, man?
Yeah, I'm good, man. Just finished training. All good. How are you doing?
Yeah, no, I'm doing good, man. It just seems like, I mean, you're always dedicated, obviously, in these camps for sure, but just referencing a post I saw a bit ago where you were talking about, like, really knuckling down and you're, you know, staying away from the beer and the bad food and stuff like that. Like, when do you, I guess, like, really lock into that, like, uber-focused kind of mindset ahead of fights there? Because when you posted that, it was July 23rd and you were saying under 8 weeks. Like, when do you really, like, hunker down with that? Or are you always, like, a pretty dedicated kind of guy and stick to, like, a disciplined routine and you don't really have to, yeah?
Yeah, so, basically, it's just the last few fights I've had, I've not really been the athlete or dedicated to what I should have been doing. Basically, I've been doing a lot of things out of training, but I'm doing a lot of things outside of training, what an athlete should be doing, especially for these sort of big fights. So I've just gone sober. I'm not touching anything. I'm in gym twice a day, which I've never done before. I used to just run and spar and that way. I'm doing all sorts of different training now, strength and conditioning. I'm getting stronger, I'm getting bigger, getting faster. So, yeah, I've just cut all negative stuff out of my life and I'm just focusing on the task at hand.
Yeah, and was there a particular thing that led you to make those amendments? Like, is it in the pursuit of, I guess, becoming a champion within BKB, something like that? Was it more of just like a lifestyle change you wanted to make in general? Like, what drove you to, I guess, add those aspects to your preparations?
To be honest, it was it was a lifestyle change what I wanted as well, but it was the fight I had for the British title in December against Tony Lafferty. I realised in the fourth and fifth round, it took me somewhere where I'd never been before. I mean, I've had boxing matches where I've gone seven rounds and stuff like that, but with bare knuckle, it was a bit of a different feeling. Round four and five, it took me to places I'd never been before, and I realised, shit, maybe I'm not as fit as I should have been, and maybe I'm not as dedicated as I should have been for a fight of this magnitude. So, and then I took one on short notice. That was just more for money, that, against Johnny Lawson. Obviously, he's one of the toughest fighters they've got. And I just, that I didn't train for at all, to be honest. I didn't train one little bit for it. And I felt it in that fight. So I was just like, nah, if I'm going to do this from now on, it's going to be serious. And to be honest, I feel like when I'm trained and I'm focused at my weight class, I beat everybody. So that's my mindset at the moment.
Yeah, just a very interesting arc that you outlined there. I guess I'm just kind of curious, like, does this, you know, chance to become a BKB champion here, does it feel redemptive almost? Just because, like you said, like, maybe you weren't putting the preparations into it initially, and it being short notice, etc., etc., a lot of variables in the last couple fights. Like, does this upcoming fight present almost like a redemptive opportunity to kind of be like, hey, this is like a much better, you know, representation of my skills as a fighter and a much better representation of, you know, what I could give, I guess, in the pursuit of a title?
Yeah, 100%. It's definitely redemption. I mean, and in an ideal world, I would have fought Tony Lafferty again, and that would have been the ideal fight, but to be honest, I feel like this is an harder fight than that fight would have been, so I'm training harder anyway. But yeah, it's definitely redemption. That belt is 100% coming home with me on 16th of September. I mean, I respect Martin, he's a good fighter, but I'm going to do a job on him. It's as simple as that. Like, I'm not thinking about in this camp, I'm punching hard, I'm stronger, I'm faster, I'm just more ferocious than I've ever been, and I just feel like nobody's seen what I've got to offer yet in when I'm fully focused, because I haven't been fully focused for a long time. So I just feel like when I come back this time, it's going to be a shock to everybody. They're going to be like, wow, this guy really don't fuck about, does he? You know, he's put it in this time. And they'll see a different race coming 16th of September, so I'm excited.
Yeah, for sure. And curious to go back to something you were kind of saying there. I don't know if I misconstrued that. Like, are you almost looking at this upcoming fight against Martin Raffel as almost like maybe like a bigger challenge or a more, I guess, nuanced one than a rematch with Tony Lafferty? Was that kind of what you were touching on there a bit?
Yeah, well, I feel like it's two different styles, so it's hard to say which one would be tougher. I feel like Martin presents a tougher fight just with his pace and the fact of how he comes forward, and he's more ferocious and in your face sort of thing. So that I feel like it's a tougher. I feel like Tony's a better boxer, but Martin's a better fighter, so shall we say. But it's just pushed me to another level, because obviously I want the Tony Lafferty rematch. That's exactly what I want. I'm not looking past Martin, but when I'm done with Martin, like, Tony will be getting a shout on microphone for when he's back ready. You know, I need that fight back. It's something what's stung for a long time, because I want me on that night, and it's just it stings me. So I definitely need that fight back. So this title really. Obviously, I need to beat Tony to feel like a champion anyway, because he bet me for the belt, so I'm going to win this belt regardless, but my first defence will be against Tony Lafferty.
Yeah, just an interesting landscape, and that would definitely make sense, but it seems like your opponent is also kind of in a similar spot in a certain regard, just also having contended for BKB Gold when he fought Scott McHugh and did so on short notice. So kind of interesting, like slightly different circumstances for each of you, but maybe a comparable mindset in as far as like a redemptive, you know, like second shot at BKB Gold sort of thing.
Yeah, sure. I mean, like I say, I think I've got no but respect for Martin. I mean, I spoke to him after his last fight, and I said, yo, I'm a fan of you, I like your style and stuff like that, even though we'll probably cross paths in future, I'm a fan. And obviously, then I got the call, they were like, oh, you're fighting Martin for a British title. I was like, sound, you know. So I'm a fan of it, so I get to fight someone who I'm a fan of, you know, and it makes it exciting for me. I just feel like when it comes to skill level, I mean, he's fit and he's a good boxer, but when it comes to straight boxing skill level, I just feel a level above him. And I think that's going to show on night, because I've never really been as fit. I'm fitter now than I ever have been. I'm on it, and I've still got 4 weeks left. I'm fitter now than I ever have been for any of my other fights, you know. And I'm just building and building off that. So I'm off. I'm going abroad tomorrow. I'm going to train in some mountains, altitude training. And then I'm coming back. I'm going to get some sparring done, and then I'll be ready to rock. And we'll be. I'm sure we'll put a show on for fans, but. Yeah, I just feel like it's my time this time. I know he'll be coming for redemption, like he wants his title, but I just feel like it's my time. I've served my apprenticeship, and I'm ready to become a champion now.
Yeah, and some facets of this fight I still want to, you know, touch on, but in terms of, like, your wording there, like, you know, going through the apprenticeship and stuff like that, it seems like Golden Team was, like, the spot for a couple of years and then started working closer to home. Like, who would you say, I guess, like, some of the primary figures were in, I guess, helping you go through this apprenticeship and accrue those kind of skills you're talking about?
So I've been at a few gyms, to be honest, through my BKB career. I've just sort of floated about and done my own thing. At the moment, I've done a full circle. Like, when I started boxing, when I was about 12 or so, 13, I started going to an amateur boxing club in my town, and here I am 15 years later. I've done a full circle and I'm back down there now training with them. There's a coach down there called Pedro at SYD Boxing Club in Nottingham. He's basically helping me and just basically training me for this fight. He's an ex-pro himself. He fought some good fighters and he's been around the game for a long time. So is sort of just filling me with advice, and it's paying off. Like, I can feel improvements. Lads in gym can feel improvements. So, yeah, I'm just basically keeping it close to home. I'm literally 2 minutes from my house. It's actually at my old high school, so it's all right. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it seems like that communal kind of space really has helped you out, not just as a fighter, but just in general. Like, I was checking out an interview you did on The Wraps Are Off, and you were talking about how you kind of strayed away from boxing a bit in your teens and got into some, I think, like, the wording was, like, less than savory behavior. So it's just kind of interesting in the general, like, arc of the story, like, just how much, like, balance and direction this certain, you know, space seems to give you. So, yeah, great to hear that.
Yeah. Well, boxing basically saved me. I would, if I weren't here right now, I'd probably be in jail, to be quite honest. Boxing and my children saved me. I wasn't a very nice character when I was younger. I did a lot of bad stuff, which obviously I won't talk about. But yeah, I was sort of a different character back then. But there was only one way that was leading, and obviously I could always fight. I could always fight, regardless of whether it were boxing or on the street. And I just thought, you know what, I actually like to fight, and I thought, why don't I do that, but do it in a positive way. So, yeah, boxing sort of kept me off the streets and kept my head in a good place. I'm just one of them, like, I grew up sort of in a rough place, so violence is an everyday thing to me. So it's sort of, if I can do it and get paid and not get done for it, then it's a win-win in every situation for me, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. And I guess just kind of, you know, going back to this fight here, because what you were saying before was interesting, like your perception that this will be just like a fight between guys who've got like certain refined, you know, boxing games. Like, he was talking about, like, when he fought in BYB, and he was like talking about the active clinch fighting, and it was like, oh, you know, that's fine, but it's almost like more of just a scrap. Like, he almost prefers the more like London prize ring rules of BKB, like that more at range kind of, you know, style. And it seems like you kind of feel the same way about that BKB versus BYB rule set too. So, yeah.
I mean, Martin's a boxer, isn't he? He's a boxer, he's like me. I mean, I'm a fan of BYB. It's interesting to watch, but I'm not a fan of fighting for him because that rule set, it's just a street fight, that, you know, there's not really no skill in it. I'll be straight up honest, you could pick any of their fighters in my weight class, from world champion to anything, and put them in that BKB ring with me, and I'd take them to school. And I'm sure they'd do the same to me in BYB, because it's just, they've got certain styles, and we've got certain styles. Me and Martin are boxers. They're more scrappy MMA fighters that like to clinch and stuff, and that's just, we're not built for that. So with me and Martin, it makes a very interesting fight because we're both very highly skilled boxers. We both know exactly what we're doing, and we both got good attributes what we bring to the fight. So it's an interesting fight for everybody to sit back and enjoy.
Yeah, just interesting. Like, it almost becomes like an entirely different game for sure. But yeah, I mean, definitely, you know, has its own fight IQ that has, like, been emerging for sure. And I love that about the bare knuckle space, just how there's more discourse around, like, the techniques and, like, the methodology and fight IQ. I guess in saying all of that, because I was seeing that, like, when you kind of got into the fold initially, it kind of came from, you know, Jim Freeman giving you a call for a fight on a BKB lockdown show. Like, I guess from even that point until, like, where you're at now, like, what would you say some of the biggest differences are in terms of, like, strides you've made in your bare knuckle fight IQ, or just becoming a more comprehensive bare knuckle fighter in general?
I think the strides I've made is due to my activity, because you can't really train for bare knuckle. You can spar in little gloves, but you've got to take some off your shots and stuff like that. So it's not really the same sort of thing. So you're sort of learning. You're learning while you're in there with bare knuckle. And last year, obviously, I had four bare knuckle fights in space of 11 months. So I think just my experience now, like, I know what it takes in there. I know what them shots feel like. I know what it feels like to have my face broken and keep coming forward, you know. And I just feel like my experience is just, it's right up there now. Like, I know what I'm doing in there. I feel at home when I'm in there. it's my house at the end of the day. That's how I look at it when I get in there. It's my house.
Yeah, it's cool to hear you're in that spot with it, and also kind of referencing that interview from The Wraps Are Off. It seemed like you were talking about having like a mentality of a champion almost before like becoming the champion, like capturing the belt is almost a formality in a sense, and just the idea of carrying yourself in that kind of way and whatnot. Like, I feel like that'll serve you well just in general, but especially so with this like sophomore crack at BKB Gold coming up.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I always think like that. It's no disrespect towards any other fighter, but I just feel like in my weight class, I'm number one, and if anyone wants to try and stop me, then they can try, but I just feel like I'm already champion, and I just need to go and collect my belt. That's all that needs to happen now. I've worked too hard for this, man. I've been at this game now for best part of 20 years, you know, boxing. I've had my injuries, I've had my ups, my downs, my wins, my losses, and I really, really owe this to myself. I've been through a lot to get here, so I just owe this to myself, and on fight night, everybody's going to see how much I want it.
Yeah, for sure. A very compelling fight that I was excited for, you know, before talking to you, but definitely compounding more as you're given these great insights, man. But you've been great with your time, and been fun having you on, but just being mindful of your time and schedule, Reese, and just kind of wondering if maybe there's a final parting thought you'd like to put out there as we're wrapping up, though.
I'd like to give my my sponsors a shout out, if that's cool.
Yeah, for sure.
We've got DNC Electrical from Craig Fradley. We've got Gav Brooks with Brooks Sons and Roofing. We've got Bex and Keith Bottomley with Bex and Co. And Formula Fitness Gym are all sponsoring me. So I appreciate all them guys, everything you're doing for me and helping me out. My final word is just tune in 16th of September and expect fireworks.
Yeah, for sure. I think anyone that's seen yourself and also Martin Reffel fight can attest to the fact that it's always high octane, always exciting, and definitely stoked to see what goes down there at BKB 34 and counting things down until September 16th, no doubt. But until then, Reese, you have a good rest of your day, and again, thank you for the time.
Yeah, you too, mate. Thank you. I appreciate it.